This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Hey, welcome to Shrink Chicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
Let's talk about a couple of things about couples therapy.
You are so witty when you start these out. It's really incredible.
We had quite a few people that had written in about questions, general questions about couples therapy and logistics of it, what this looks like, how it works, blah, blah, blah. We're going to just answer a whole bunch of questions and have a little convo.
I also think couples therapy is so much more terrifying in a lot of ways
than individual.
Individual therapy, because there's...
Yes.
You don't have complete control over the narrative.
No, it's so
Whereas
scary.
In individual therapy, you have such control over the narrative. Like, you get to choose what you bring in there. When you go to couples therapy, your partner might come in and be like, listen to what
you have no idea what's going to happen.
Did.
It's scary,
it's
right?
It's scary. So I think that if we dispel some myths about couples therapy, make it a little safer.
Okay. So, like, let's start with, when the fuck do you even go to couples therapy? When should a couple even go to
immediately.
Couples therapy?
Immediately. First date.
Hey, where are we having dinner also? Do you know a good couples therapist?
You have dinner with the couples therapist, just the first date.
Do we charge extra for that?
No, it's like a meet and greet.
A meet and greet.
You know, I'm
amazing.
Sure some therapists would charge extra for that.
We wouldn't. Okay, so when do you go? Listen, I think this is a personal thing, but what we know is typically people come in 7 years too late.
Seven years
ago, someone was like, we should probably go to couples therapy. And then 7 years later, they make the call. We cannot tell you the amount of phone calls we get a week that says this is our last ditch effort. If you are feeling like that, if the conversation is already about divorce, come in now. Come in sooner. As soon as it starts to feel like, here are some like really good guidelines, right? We speak to each other with disrespect.
Yes.
Great time to go into couples therapy. We have the same fight over and over again. There are external circumstances that we cannot seem to get control over or have some harmony on.
You have so much resentment that it's built up to the point where you stonewall your partner.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Or you act out in certain ways.
You hold sex away from them.
Hold sex, right? Use sex as a weapon.
Yes, yeah.
Use anything as a weapon.
Any type of weaponization, right? So, like, typically, no one is coming in soon enough. Now, I think people are fearful that if they go earlier in the relationship, that it means that it's, like, bad or something, right? Like, if we're only dating and we're in couples therapy. But, like, some of the best couples I've ever worked with are dating.
Let's break down that stigma.
Okay.
Because...
Break
down that stigma.
Okay.
That was bad. Because I think I've heard that so many times, just in, like, social settings where people are saying, oh, you have to go to couples therapy when you're dating? Maybe you shouldn't even be dating. No. In my mind, that is an emotionally aware couple.
Yes.
Because I can tell you, when we were in school, no one taught us how to be in a relationship. No one taught us ways of communicating, processing our emotions so that we're responding to our partner without reacting. there are so many things that we did not learn and things that we take from our childhood experiences and then bring them into our relationships that end up affecting them poorly. And we repeat those cycles over and over and over again without realizing it. And so to have someone who's able to highlight that for you, help you communicate in a different way, deal with any past shit that you're bringing into the relationship. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that while you're dating, kudos to you. Yeah. You are creating the basis for a healthy relationship and possibly a healthy marriage in the future.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
So breaking down that stigma, if you hear in a social setting that someone's dating and they're going to couples therapy, I want you to go up to them and be like, fuck yeah.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Don't be like, oh no, did you hear that Ben and Albert are in couples therapy? They're doomed. Fuck that. No, be like, damn, Ben and Albert in couples therapy? What a badass commitment they made.
That's incredible.
Yes.
That they're really both working on themselves so that they could better the relationship. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oof, I love that.
Yeah, because I think, I do sort of think for the, okay, not 100% of people. Obviously, I'm talking about like the, you know, probably also the bubble
right.
that we're in, our little fucking echo chamber, bubble. That like we all celebrate individual therapy, but I still don't feel like couples therapy is celebrated.
I agree.
Like, I feel like when you, like, say something to go to therapy, like, oh, that's so cool. I love my therapist, or I had a good experience, or I had whatever. But, like, couples therapy, you're like, oh, no.
Well, I think there's...
It's so bad.
There's also such a stigma on having issues in your relationship. You know?
Yeah, right? Like, as if, like, it's supposed to be easy. Because everyone thinks it's supposed to be easy. It's so hard.
People lie to you.
Being in a relationship is the hardest thing I've ever done.
It is so hard.
And I had a baby.
Right.
A baby came out my vagina. We own a huge business.
Right. And being in a relationship is so hard.
My marriage will be the hardest thing no matter what. Because relationships are hard. They just are.
And everyone says that they shouldn't be. If you meet the right person, if it's right, it should be easy. Like, fuck that. I do not believe that. And so I think it's so embarrassing.
I mean, if that happens for you, congratulations. Right. You're one to billion.
Right. But... I think that there's so much embarrassment around struggling in your relationship. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just about couples therapy that has a stigma. It's about any sort of issues, having any sort of issues in your relationship that
yep.
there's a stigma around.
Yep.
But we all got them.
So what should I expect from couples therapy? I was ignoring that.
Please do.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What should I expect in couples therapy? This really depends on what you're bringing in.
And on the, honestly, also depends on the couples therapist.
Exactly. So there's a whole bunch of different types of couples therapy, right? There, if you're doing emotionally focused couples therapy, that's going to look a little bit different than Gottman's couple therapy or Terry Real's Relational Life Institute, right? Like, there's just like a whole bunch of like different couples therapy things. Imago couples therapy. So part of it is like, what does the couple therapist specialize in? What kind of couples therapy did they work? But typically what you can expect is somebody to help facilitate more difficult conversations, whether that's resolving things from the past, problem solving from the current day, or thinking about plans for the future. It's typically the facilitation of conversations. But really what couples therapy is about is you and the other person.
I think a big fear of going into couples therapy is that you're going to go in and the therapist is going to side with one of the partners, mm-hmm. right? And so some...
Which can happen.
But I think, you know, the goal of the couples therapist is to help the relationship in whatever way that means. Like, that might even mean helping the two of you separate. Right.
And our job is to not always keep you together.
It's not always to keep you together. But, you know, it isn't to completely gang up on the other person. There might be certain sessions in which you're more focused on one person than the other because it can't be 100% balanced the entire time. Mm-hmm. But to be able to have each person have their voice heard in couples therapy is really important in whatever way that means. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're home without the couples therapist, you're not hearing each other in the ways that you might need to. You're maybe having more reactivity towards each other. You're reacting in anger as opposed to expressing more of those vulnerable emotions. And so the couples therapist can help you dig a little bit deeper into like what's going on, help you communicate those feelings. And you might get down to things that you didn't know were there. I also think there's a fear of getting down to some of those things.
Well, I think it's also what's really scary about going to couples therapy is there's times that we're going to point out directly what's happening currently in the room. So if we have a vulnerable interaction and then I become passive aggressive or make a snarky comment to you, not that this would ever happen in my own relationship, never am I talking about that, totally hypothetical. As a couples therapist, I'm going to say, all right, well, what just happened right here? And that sucks to be the person that's called out. I get that. I also know because I'm always the person who's called out in couples therapy. Emily, you seem really dysregulated today. Do I? So I'm also telling you from someone who's on both sides of the couch.
So an example of that might be, right? So like if Emily gets passive aggressive.
Which she does.
The couples therapist might say.
When Emily gets passive aggressive.
What just happened there? What was underneath that passive aggression?
Mm-hmm. Right? So
what
typically.
What's going on for you?
Right? And so that feels horrible to get called out because no one likes to be called that like you're being passive aggressive. But it's often a thing we do to avoid vulnerability and emotional intimacy with our partner. So you're probably going to get called out in session when she's watched. First of all, they're going to look for something called an enactment where they're watching your pattern play out in real life. So like I. Right. Am I exposing secrets of the trade? Well, you gave me a look like
No. I was gonna don't you dare tell people.
I'm telling them all the secrets. That's the point of the podcast.
I was just gonna say our entire podcast is exposing secrets of the trade. What I was gonna say is if you go into couples therapy and they say, tell me about a recent fight that the two of you had, that's what they're looking for.
We want you to fight in the room.
We
Our goal
see it.
Is to get you to fight. We need to
the
see
hard,
it.
I would say the hardest thing is when couples come in and they're both shut down.
And they don't fight. And or they're on their best behavior.
So much rather have a couple
just
fighting
sure.
in the room.
So that's one of the things. Like you might say, like, oh, we can't. We have to like let this happen. Fight in front of the couples
Please.
Therapist because we need to see what goes on in those moments when we're not there. For us to best be able to say, all right, well, here's what I noticed in that moment. I noticed that when he came towards you, you pulled your body away and then you shut down his hug. What was it that felt so unsafe in that moment? Right? Like they're going to do something like that to slow it down, hopefully.
And there's something that feels safer about saying it to another person rather than saying it to your partner. So that's a piece of it too, is that like you triangulate yourself into the couple's relationship in order to help the couple hear each other in a way where they're not talking directly to each other.
Yeah.
So if you said, well, what was going on for you in that moment? Well, I felt really rejected. I felt really hurt in those moments. It's so much easier to be able to say that to the couples therapist than say that to your partner. And that is why you're having these more reactive
Well, and also
moments.
in the more difficult spots in my marriage, if my partner was like, what just happened for you in this moment? I'd be like, nah, like the gremlin would come out. I would have no space
okay,
for that.
Let me ask you. And then if the gremlin came out, what would happen then?
The gremlin comes out, I become snarky and passive aggressive, right? So the gremlin comes out, I physically pull my body away from my partner, I then come back in with a finger point and a rude comment, and then I pull away again, right? There's a little
finger. I thought you straight up go into gremlin mode. Rah! I would laugh.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably have done that too, specifically in postpartum. I'm sure I became an actual gremlin many times when I was still like very much having postpartum rage. Right. But so I do think like these are like one of the things, right? That like if my partner had said that, I wasn't at this space when we first started couples, that like, you know, when we first started really struggling in our marriage, for him to be able to have space to say that, like I needed to like come from someone else.
Yeah. And also what we're looking for as couples therapists is we're looking at your pattern, right? We end up in a cyclical pattern in our relationships where we're having some sort of reaction, and the way that we're reacting or what's happening in those moments is triggering our partner, and then our partner's having a reaction, and we get stuck in these cycles. And something we said earlier is if you're having the same fight over and over and over again, maybe it's time to come to couples therapy. That's what happens, is that we get stuck in the same cycle over and over again. And we don't know how to pull ourselves out, and we don't even see what's happening.
Yeah.
So the couples therapist can highlight that.
When you're in anything, it's so hard. It doesn't mean you're fit. And I think that's the thing, right? Like that does not mean that your relationship is doomed. It means that you're normal.
It happens.
It just means that this is just like what happens in any relationship. And like, it can be different. And like, sometimes it's really hard to see that in the moment. And like, there's nothing wrong with that.
And just in any relationship, you are bound to go through periods of connection and disconnection. Mm-hmm. That the goal is not to stay connected at all times when you are dealing with stress in your lives, financial stress, you know, someone's passed away, you have children, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There are bound to be stresses in your life that cause disconnection. So the goal is not to constantly stay in connection. That's not realistic. The goal is that when you get to disconnection, you see it and you know how to bring yourselves back together into connection.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blueland. Blueland is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blueland products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blueland proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blueland is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, a lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Okay, so a lot of people asked, actually, in a very cool way, a lot of the listener questions were about going to couples therapy before stuff got quote-unquote bad, right?
Yeah.
So do you see a lot of couples coming to therapy before things are bad? No.
Not enough.
We would like to. Please do.
And let us just say,
as couples. Yes, please. It was a drive-by fruiting. Sorry, I'm just still in the Mrs. Doubtfire, thing I got going
Hello.
On.
Is that? I didn't realize it.
It was a drive-by fruiting.
Beautiful.
This is, you know, it's really funny because, like, so, like, sometimes talk about exposing things of the trade. One of our podcast producers was talking about, like, one of the ways you get your numbers up. And, like, one of the things they want is for people to listen to the full episode. And in my head, this was the moment everyone shut the episode off. Right.
Or maybe...
Sorry, Madison.
No, maybe at the beginning we could say something like, stay tuned for Emily's
Mrs. Doubtfire
impression? Mrs. Doubtfire impression.
That'll definitely keep them.
100%, right?
Right, okay. So we would love for more people to come in.
Also, let us just say, as couples therapists, we know when you come in and you're just doing it to save face. Because you're not going to do the work.
Yeah, we know. It's so obvious. It's so funny. So, I mean, you're also just like, we're like, I can't even take your money, man. Okay. One of the things someone asked is like, so like, what does couples therapy look like for couples who aren't in crisis? So one of those is like diving deeper about like, what are the things, right? So a lot of times something, okay, a few different things. One, it could be a crisis and not an emergency. So sometimes it can be a crisis. Like, you know, we turn it a crisis every time it's the holidays and we have to see our in-laws. So like, yeah, it's not bad all the time, but we have this ongoing pattern, right? So we're going to look at, what does a fight look like for you? What does an argument look like for you? What does conflict look like for you? How do you feel loved by your partner? How do you feel supported by your partner? Like, there is a lot of work that you can do pre-crisis. It feels weird because not everyone's a crisis. I don't know how to phrase that.
Well, I think there's something beautiful about coming in when you're not in crisis.
Because when you're in crisis, it's problem solving, and you're also, you are dysregulated.
Right, you're so dysregulated that it's so much harder for your kind of intellectual mind to take precedence for you to be able to do some of this work. So it's actually very helpful when you come in and you're not in crisis.
Well, it's like one of those things we talk about with like when you're, a lot of people are like, oh, coping skills don't work. But are you practicing those coping skills when you don't need them? Because coping skills, if the first time you ever try deep breathing is mid-panic attack, mm-hmm. I do not know if it's going to help you that much, right? If the first time you ever try something, right? Like, that's why we talk about like making routines practice and structures and habits.
And it's also, you know, it touches on what we tell couples when they are getting really reactive or heated, when we say, listen, take, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you need to separate so that you can recenter yourself, and do your deep breathing. Make sure you're connected to yourself so you are being less reactive, so you're not in crisis mode, so you can connect to that intellectual mind so that you can respond to each other more effectively. Mm-hmm. So if you're coming into couples therapy and you're not in crisis mode, you're actually more likely to do really good work, I think. You know, it's helpful for us as therapists to see you in crisis mode. But if you're in crisis mode every single time you're coming into session, it's going to be hard to bring you back into that intellectual mind.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's helpful to have goals.
Yes.
What do you want out of this time and space, right? Not just like, oh, I like listening to this therapy podcast, so I thought it'd be a good idea. The therapist is going to be like, who are these weirdos that sent you to couples therapy now? Right? So to say, like, you know what we'd really like is that, like, when we go stay at your parents' house for the weekend, that there's not a blow up afterwards.
Right.
Right? Like, it doesn't have to be that it's bad all the time, but, like, what are some, like, tangible, you know, substantial goals?
Right, or we want to make sure we communicate throughout the week more effectively so that we can get tasks done together. Because, and this is the really unsexy part of relationships, is that part of your relationship is business.
Yeah. Money, chores.
Chores. Childcare. Getting things done, right? Like, stuff at the house. And so, like, how do we communicate more effectively on that? Because sometimes, and to be able to boundary those things off from the relationship can be really helpful in you being able to engage in the more romantic, sexy side of your relationship.
Yeah.
Sexy side.
Somebody had a really good question. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Sorry, I keep throwing you off.
Okay, somebody had a good thing is, to me, couples counseling feels like admitting defeat. How can I change this perspective? You're right. It's a mindset. Right? Like, would you say the same thing about going to the doctor or going to individual therapy? Right? Like, what is it specifically about couples therapy that makes you feel that way? Most likely, it's because of how our society, how our parents, how our grandparents, how it was thought of. Shh, they go to couples therapy. It was hidden in the things. But let's be real. If we did everything our parents or grandparents did, it would not be a good world. Let's not do that. So part of that is, how do I have an actual mindset shift? Because that matters. We talk about it in the therapy world of first order change and second order change, right? First order change is the behavior. It typically lasts sometimes not that long. Second order change is what is full, like, mindset shift.
And what is your, if you ask yourself, what stigma do I have around couples therapy?
Yeah.
Where did I develop that? Where is that coming from? Do I want to shift that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a different way I can think about it? Can I listen to this episode and maybe it will shift my ideas about couples therapy?
Yeah.
And that's why we say, like, in the whispers, right? Like, if you hear people whispering about it, say, I think it's cool they go to couples therapy.
So the times that you, right, because we're both couples therapists and we've both gone to couples therapy ourselves. Did you talk to people about, like, did you tell people that you were going to couples therapy?
Well, just as a person, I don't really tell much about myself.
As your, I don't know if you can say that anymore, dude. After 2 years, over 2 years of this podcast, can you still say that?
It doesn't change how I am in social situations.
So, Jiz, you can listen to her on the internet, but yeah, if you're her friend, no way.
No chance. Yeah, no, if people ask me if you're my friend, if they, yeah, I would talk about it. Okay. I think I would talk about it. I wouldn't, like, tell my parents or tell my, I mean, they might know now, but.
Your mom totally listens to this podcast.
Right.
Hi, Lisa. Jen was in couples therapy.
Hey there. I just think couples therapy is so important. I really do.
Yeah.
But once again, I wasn't not telling people because of the stigma around it.
But I definitely noticed that I talk about individual therapy way more than I talk about couples therapy.
Yeah. So do you know why?
Probably usually because I have a funnier antidote coming out of individual.
Right.
That I do couples. It's usually couples is like, Emily was dysregulated.
Also, couples therapy is fucking hard.
It's so hard.
I will say till I'm blue in the face, it's so important, but it's also very hard.
I will say, though, sometimes you get really good positive reinforcement. Like the one day we logged on, our couples therapist was like, you guys look so wonderful today. Like, have you guys been having more sex? You look so happy. You're sitting so close. Like, and when they say that, you're like, look at how good we're doing in our marriage. Like, everyone likes to feel that way.
Were,
like,
you having more sex?
The fuck if I remember. But I remember, but I do remember is how good I felt getting that compliment. And I was like, yes, we're winning.
We're
right?
doing it.
So, like, I do think that's part of it is, like, you start giving a lot of weight to your couple's therapist. And, like, that's my own shit about, like, wanting to be liked.
Right.
Like me. Okay.
Like me.
What topics do you wish more couples would dive into during premarital counseling? Ooh, what's your top two?
The first thing that comes to my mind is all childhood stuff.
Okay.
And first, because I think it's important for each partner to really understand what they're bringing into the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And also sometimes exploring that in front of their partner helps their partner gain more empathy towards, like, why something might be coming out in their arguments. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think that is, like, very, very important. And that's, like, but that's, like, a lot of deeper work that also can happen in individual therapy mm-hmm. that you can bring in. So I think that's really important. Another thing I think is, like, non-negotiables that unfortunately I don't know if everyone talks about to a full extent before they get married.
Mine's money and sex.
Perfect.
I feel like people do not talk about sex and money enough.
I know. Wait, what was
it? Sex and money. Right, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people don't talk about finances because we live in, like, such a culture of, like, discomfort of mm-hmm. talking about finances. And there's so much shame around finances. So, like, I think that's a big one. And then also sex, just because the amount of women that I have worked with that are in heterosexual relationships that are unhappy in their sex lives and that are faking it.
And they don't say anything.
Yeah.
So, like, really
that's my own market research.
I love that market research.
I have no research, actual research.
That counts. I think you do though.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14-karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Okay, how to get past disagreements when neither person feels like they're wrong. You can't.
I don't think you have to feel wrong to get past a disagreement. That's not what it's about.
Here's the question. Here's the question we love to say. Do you want to be right or do you want to be close? So maybe we look at this need to be right. In the
yeah, why do you need someone? Argument? Why does someone have to be wrong?
Why does someone have to be wrong? Why does there have to be blame? Something we do notice as couples therapists is you don't get very far when all you're doing is blaming the other person. And so, and each of you has your own perspective on the situation, and you're going to, and that's not going to change. Fact of the matter is, you can't tell someone that they don't feel how they're feeling.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's not necessarily about changing the other person's perspective or like who was right, who was wrong, but it's talking about what's underneath that, right? Like what was going on for you in those moments? How do you get the reason why you're stuck sometimes is that you didn't get the chance to communicate what the emotions were attached to the situation, that you're more arguing over one person's perspective over another person's perspective, as opposed to talking about what's the deeper emotion that's going on and that you need to feel heard and validated in that experience. And so what a couples therapist can do is they can help you get on that a different level of communication, so that you're more so communicating about this was what this was like for me, or this is how I felt in those moments, and that's what I need you to understand. Not this is my perspective and I need you to share that same perspective, that this was that what this was like for me, and I just need you to validate that you hear me.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. What are some important questions to ask and conversations to have before getting married? I know we briefly talked about this, but like, what do you think important questions to ask is?
Do you want to have kids? How often do you see us having sex?
How do you see household tasks looking like? How are they divided? What would we do if one of us became chronically ill or handicapped, disabled in some way?
Do we combine our finances? Mm-hmm. Do we keep them separate? What does that look like? What does holidays look like? How do we share them what are your expectations? How do we share them with each of our families? So many.
Those are really good ones.
Yeah, these were good. We're amazing.
I'm dead. Okay. Effective communication tips. What's your favorite communication tip?
I say this one all the time. My favorite one is looking underneath the reaction, right? So like when you recognize that you're reacting to something in anger or you're shutting down, to figure out what's the more vulnerable emotion underneath that reaction so that you can more effectively communicate that, right? And so practicing your ability to respond versus react, mm-hmm. I think is really important and also really challenging.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Okay, mine is like finding some truth in anything that somebody's saying, right? Like if somebody's speaking to me, I have to trust that they're giving me their truth. Right. So like, I have to find some truth. So even if I want to fight back and be defensive, like my goal is to find some piece of truth of what you're saying. OK, I totally see that. I hear it. I didn't see it that way. I didn't realize that's what it felt for you. And this is what was coming up for me. Right. So like I do think and instead of but and finding some truth in whatever they're saying.
I love that.
I mean, I feel like most couple therapists would say I statements.
Yeah, they're just listen, I love I statements, but they feel so robotic.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you start any of these skills, it feels like, and that's the thing is like, sometimes when I talk to clients about that, like, they feel so clinical, and it's like, it does. Like, doing anything different feels weird and clinical, it does. Right? Like, and so there's nothing bad about that, but it can feel uncomfortable.
It can also, if you're going to couple
it
therapy,
depends on what kind of blame is also happening in the the relationship. If you're doing a lot of blame, then yeah, you need to switch some shit over to I statements.
If you're going to couples therapy and you're learning about I statements and you bring it into your arguments, it can actually be hilarious.
Right? Like, they'll be like, well, Emily said, right?
Right.
Right. Like, so if you're, like, saying, like, one of, like, a really basic skill we give people is, like, I feel when you, and it makes me, right? Yeah. So I feel rejected when you say no to having sex with me and it makes me pull away from you, right? So, like, fill in the blanks type of thing. And so you can start with those. And sometimes the reality is when if you do have, like, I think it's also important to, like, fucking have some accountability and admit if you are an unhealthy fighter, you need to use some healthy skills.
Yeah.
If you guys are cursing, blaming, character, contempt, resentment, any of these things that are mean and cruel, which remember, honesty without tact is cruelty. I don't care if it's honest or not. If you're using cruelty in your relationship, it is better for you to do something more robotic than keep causing harm.
And it's so important for you to take accountability for those actions, to say, listen, I recognize that I have this kind of reaction to you, and that's probably very hurtful, right?
So maybe, like, one of our top communication skills should be, do you really know how to apologize?
Oof, that's a good
one. Do you know how to apologize? Do you know how to repair after rupture?
Repair is very important.
Yes. It's not just about how – you're not going to get perfect fights all the time. That doesn't fucking happen. Emotions are high. You're tired. You're hungry. Whatever the hell that happens, right? So how do we best repair this relationship?
How do you repair in your relationship?
Apologies. Like, Aaron and I are, like, incredibly verbal people.
Yeah.
So for me, like, one, it's like space and walking away, mm-hmm. and then coming back and apologizing. Mm-hmm. I am somebody who, like, really needs space to de-escalate myself down, you know, because I'm always dysregulated.
I have to challenge you on that. You're not always dysregulated.
In couples therapy, I think I am. Right. Possibly, yeah.
But, like, easy to be dysregulated in couples therapy.
For sure.
As a therapist, what is it like to jump from individual clients to couples? What an interesting question.
I will say this. You need training in couples therapy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you can't just do this without being trained. Do not just start seeing couples from individuals if you are not trained. Doesn't mean you have to be an LMFT, but take some courses, some e-courses, right? Like anything like that. You really do need to have specific relational systemic training. So for us, we were literally trained with couples the same time we were trained with individuals. Yeah. So it's not really jumping back and forth. Now, throughout the day, we see everything in system. So, like, it isn't any different for us.
Because it's not a big shift for us.
It's not a shift for us because we are using the same systemic mindset no matter who we're working with in the room. So it is actually completely the same. But if you didn't come from a systemic background and you're looking to do more couples, then you need to get some systemic and relational training. That's what I would say to that.
I couldn't have said that better myself.
We got to do Dear Em and Jen, dude.
I'm ready.
Okay.
You want me to do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fun.
Dear Em and Jen, my fiance and I are getting married in July. We've been together for 10 years since high school. We've visited each other in college and traveled a lot, so I didn't think moving in together right before the wedding would be as big of an adjustment as it has been. Nothing major, but we're just getting used to different schedules and habits. For example, Hold on, I gotta turn the page. For example, my fiance is used to cooking for just himself. We are both used to buying different things at the grocery store and have had different expectations on what is clean and organized and what isn't. Any tips on adjusting to living together and married life? We focused a lot on getting on the same page with values, raising a family and finances, but seemed to overlook talking about day-to-day habits, etc.
Okay, here's a worse thing, because clearly you're someone who likes control. Sorry to say that. Also from another control girly, I understand. You like control.
Control girly to control girly.
Control girly to controlly, I understand. Some shit just takes time. Yeah. Living together is very hard. The thing is, when we talk about, like, there used to be people would talk about, like, oh, marriage, all this stuff would shift, but actually it's living together, but it used to be the people didn't live together until they got married, so that's why it's always been about marriage, right? It's actually living together that makes these shifts. It is very hard to live with somebody else because a lot of us don't have self-awareness of our daily habits and routines, so it isn't something we talk about. It's, like, things that we notice, right? So we've talked about this before. My husband has, like, this thing about wet socks. Like, God fucking, just take your fucking socks off. I don't know. Like, God forbid my daughter spills a little something on the ground, right? She's running around the fucking bubble machine or some shit, and he gets a little bit of liquid on his socks because, like, I don't know. He's a thing from childhood, people in his house, sharing the shower. I have no idea. I didn't know that until we moved in together. And I was like, just then, I don't know, wear slippers around the house. Don't wear socks. Like, right. I can't, like, keep everything perfect. Our dog is 1 billion pounds and drools. Like, yeah. I don't know. So there's certain stuff, though, like, he didn't even realize that was a thing for him. Right. So there's certain stuff that you're just going to find out. And what you have to say is, this is just part of life. This lack of control in relationships, of living together, it is how it is. And is it really that big of a deal? What am I holding on to? What is feeling so devastating about this? And what expectations did I have for us moving in? Because I think you thought if you prepped it enough, it would be easy. But the reality is no matter how much we prep, we cannot predict.
The expectation thing is that, yes, what I was going to touch on is that when you've been together for a really long time, the assumption is, oh, we're going to move in together. It's going to be the same thing. No. Moving in together is very, very hard. I think that was probably one of the most challenging times in my relationship, was like adjusting to living together.
It's so hard.
It is so hard. So
at first it's really fun, like the first 2 weeks.
There's like, and you're like,
you're not leaving.
I also remember I moved in with my husband after a year of dating him, which is like pretty early.
That's very early.
And I just remember I still was like, how do I act? You know, like I didn't fully feel like I could be myself yet.
Like farting?
Not just farting. Like you have to like figure out like how to work around each other. You know, whereas before you're going to visit each other, you're going on dates, you're, you know, now you're like living your lives simultaneously next to each other. And then you're like, do I wait to eat dinner with them? Do I, you know, like there's so many things you kind of have to figure out. What do chores look like? And that is all happening at once. Like that huge transition is all happening at once when you move in together. And so I think it is such a huge adjustment. And another thing to remember is that people believe that when they move in together, they're going to be having more sex for some reason. Actually, what we know is that sex plummets when you move in with someone. And so challenging the expectations that you had just because you've been with someone for so long, mm-hmm. and you really know them, that when you live with someone, it is a completely different story.
Yeah. I think it's also what you're saying is like compassion.
Yes.
For yourself and for the other person.
Yes. And know that this is a natural adjustment in your relationship. Yeah. It is not necessarily, it doesn't mean anything about your relationship that you're struggling with this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is something you can work through, you can get through. It's just a huge transition.
Absolutely. So we hope today's episode gave you some insight into couples therapy. That's something you're thinking of. We're always encouraging you to take what you're learning here, bring it into the world. If you ever hear somebody smashing down on someone else for going to couples therapy, this is your call
to talking shit about them. Yes,
this is your call to action to say couples therapy is cool, good for them. You can do that yourself. Radical personal responsibility. We always ask you to rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Apple Podcasts. You can check us out and watch our hilarious mannerisms on YouTube. Follow us at the at Drink Chicks or at the Therapy Group, or work with one of our amazing clinicians at thetherapygroup.com. We love you. And don't forget that to grow yourself, you got to know yourself. We'll see you next week.
See ya.